Certainly, we have a lot of time. So, actually, I was thinking, because it's also an auspicious day for all these days. Until he settled, I thought of doing a small class today. I told Anandji we'll do a small class, and I also wanted to do some Dakshinamurti Japam. It happened with Thursday. It is good for the real, actually the spiritual aspirants. When I say spiritual aspirant, means you're a clear-headed person. A clear-headed person means what? Not clear about the truth. I mean, you are in pursuit of knowledge of the truth. At the same time, you are very clear that what you are really living this life for. The purpose of living this life is very clear. Your ultimate end is very clear. At the same time, you do not deprive yourself of and enjoying any pleasures. You are living a proper life. Living a proper life implies living a life with understanding. People live their lives, do a lot of work, they earn money, enjoy pleasures, but still they don't live a proper life, which means they live not knowing what to do. What to do, they don't know. So they're simply doing things and enjoying pleasures, and then they live. But when you have purushartha nischaya, when you know the value of knowledge, you're committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Commitment comes once you know the value of it. Then with that value, understanding the way of life, knowing the value of dharma, you're living your life with such an attitude, means your life is a properly lived life. And a properly lived life becomes a meaningful life later on, becomes a successful life later on, becomes a life of accomplishment later on. Then there's a sense of fulfillment, isn't it? So that knowledge is very clear, but for which you need Bhagavan's grace. And we need grace. So until this vision, we have, there is dvaitam. Without the vision also we have dvaitam. Even if we are living this life for the advaitic vision also, still there is dvaitam, isn't it? Duality is definitely there. And prayer and worship are so important in one's life, that without which we cannot manage our situations that we are ordained to go through. Because we do not have any say over the situations which now come in our life. We do not know what say do we have. So if we have to manage those situations and go through those situations, still we need to pursue what we need to pursue. When we go through, somehow everybody is managing to go through situations. But when they go through these undesirable, unmanageable situations, then what happens? They lose sight of the vision, they lose sight of the goal, then they forget about the study, they really get distracted, disturbed. And that does not happen for a person who lives his life properly. That's what I mean to say. For which we need grace. So we should always have prayer, always have worship in life, even though we are very clear that we are living this life ultimately to have the advaitic vision. And today happens with Thursday. Today we have prayer, and tomorrow we have this other class also. And this Saturday, of course, on Sunday we are having the puja, full moon. And this following full moon is very special this month. And then that's why we have this Chandi Puja there. And it's all for our physical, emotional well-being, and also our commitment to Shastram. You know, somehow not to get distracted from this pursuit of knowledge. We need grace. I tell you, without grace, it's impossible. We cannot tap Bhagavan's grace without our efforts. But our efforts, how much ever efforts you make, without grace, still will be failure. So we need grace, and for which we pray. And Dakshinamurti is specially prayed to. Why Dakshinamurti is very special for us? When we invoke the grace of Bhagavan, grace of the Lord, the whole, And as a bestower of spiritual knowledge, as a bestower of wisdom specifically, then we seek the grace of Bhagwan in the form of Dakshinamurti. People always ask, why Dakshinamurti? Why are other forms? And we have no problem, as I told you, for us Bhagwan is the whole. All that is here is Bhagwan. And which is inclusive of Bhagwan or the Lord or Ishvara is inclusive of you, the one who is praying to the Lord, the whole. Therefore, whichever form we worship, whichever form we invoke Bhagwan, and that form is only a representative, isn't it? Only an alambanam, a symbol for, an altar for Bhagwan the whole. So no problem. So if the altar can be anything. But specifically Dakshinamurti, when we say, you know, it's that what it stands for is spiritual wisdom. When you seek grace, and the grace, you know, especially for spiritual knowledge and wisdom, for clarity in the study of the Shastram, for understanding the subject matter of the Shastram, you know, sometimes our own pratibandhas, obstacles come. However bright and brilliant you are, sometimes some obstacles come and cloud our think, you know, our intellect, and then that we are not able to see that. Very simple thing, it doesn't click sometimes. Even a difficult thing you understand easily sometimes. It happens because our own problems in life really make brings forgetfulness. As we grow older and older and older, we develop this forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is nothing but the more worries and more problems and more stress we go through, we develop this forgetfulness. Really speaking, for young children who are very free, they have better memory, we say, because they have not gone through much experiences, so they don't have much worries in life. Therefore, they don't have that. Anyway, what I want to say here, therefore it's very important, and specifically this prayer is very important. So today happens to be the concluding day of this Thursday Vedanta Sara class. I just thought we'll do Dakshinamurti mantra japam today. I do not know how many of you know this mantra. I taught you once. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahyam Shriyam Medham Prajnancha Prayaccha Swaha. There, the word Swaha means hail, hail to thee. But even though it means hail to thee, what it implied meaning of the word Swaha is, I offer myself to thee. Long sentence. I offer myself to thee, O Lord. This much is implied by one word Swaha. I offer myself to thee means what? You offering yourself to the Lord is in fact means, you know, you are bringing Bhagavan in you, filling yourself with Bhagavan. Offering yourself to Bhagavan implies filling yourself with Bhagavan. Filling yourself with Bhagavan is not a physical action, it is a cognitive thing that you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. This is what offering oneself to Bhagavan. Seeing oneself being... Anuji, 1 second. Until you click it, I'll wait. I'll let me finish some things. Okay, you don't click it until I finish it. So, offering oneself to Bhagavan implies seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. This is what offering oneself to Bhagavan. No, the Swaha means I offer myself to thee, Lord, means I see you in me, I do not see me other than you. That is the meaning. And the actual meaning is Mahyam means to me, Mahyam to me, Prayaccha means do give. So Mahyam Prayaccha, in Tamil we say Yenak Kodu, give to me. So what do you ask? What should God give you? 3 things. You ask only for 3 things and which cover all that you need to ask for. Sometimes we do not know how to pray intelligently. In the sense, what we don't even know what all should I ask. You know, we do not know the value of many things. So, we do not know what to ask for. Isn't it? For you to pray for things, you can always pray for things which you desire, which you have desire for. And you can have desire for things only if you have value for. Isn't it? So, here whether you, even if you are immature also, the prayer is so beautiful. Three words it uses. But asking for three things, you have asked for everything you need to live this life, to make this life meaningful. Shrihi Medha Prajna. I repeat it. You ask for three things. This prayer you can do when you pray to any Bhagavan, not only Dakshinamurti. Whichever form you invoke the Bhagavan, you know, Bhagavan's grace, you can ask for three things. Shrihi Medha Prajna. You know, Shrihi means all forms of wealth. Wealth in its entirety is Shrihi. It includes your good health, right thinking, right perception, now having, keeping on, so being able to, capacity to keep oneself in good humor, and then not being afraid, hurt and guilt, and wisdom, knowledge, everything is included in that wealth. And all that you need to live your life, the infrastructure you need, proper infrastructure you need to live this life, the money, the good food, good health, you know, good friends, good neighbors, good associates, you know, all that comes under the category of one word, Shrihi. That is why the all wealth, isn't it? It's all wealth, not the money. So it includes money also. Therefore, Shrihi means wealth in its entirety. All forms of wealth, including charming, it includes charming face. Attractive, impressive, beautiful face. Doesn't matter how ugly the features are, but still you'll have the charm, you can be attractive. No, that also includes what now? Shrihi means even sort of, you know, the good personality, external personality also, that also includes. Because it's not just for anything, is it? The desirable, lovability, everything comes, includes in that word, one word, Shrihi. Therefore, Shrihi, wealth in its entirety, which includes what? All your money, bank balance, everything. The next, Medha. If you have wealth, all forms of wealth, what you need is, Swamiji always says, money minus culture will lead to disaster. Isn't it? So for which you need good power of intellection. That is Medha Shakti. Because Medha Shakti, specifically you need that, especially for understanding the subtlest teaching of the abstract reality, isn't it? Subtle teaching of the Shastra. So Medha Shakti, good power of intellection, and Prajna means Prajna, Prajnanam means consciousness. But here Prajna means being conscious of consciousness, isn't it? Which means the spiritual knowledge, the wisdom, the knowledge with the total knowledge. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am, I have already, I am the limitless reality Brahman, which makes knowledge complete knowledge. Total knowledge, which is called spiritual absolute knowledge, which is wisdom, is implied by the term prajna. You ask for three things. So, Shrihi include artha, kamas. All the pleasures you enjoy in life, you want in life also, are included in the Shrihi. That's why I say, isn't it? Enjoyment of pleasure is, you're able to walk on the road, clean road, where you see both sides beautiful roses, different colorful roses, and are moving in this quite cool breeze. Itself is some enjoyment of pleasure. Even that is Bhagavan's grace, otherwise you can't have it, isn't it? So all forms of pleasures include in that one word Shrihi. That is why Shrihi means Arthakama, Dharma, okay, Medha, good power of intellection, and then Prajna, spiritual wisdom, which is Moksha also. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha, all that you want in life, you need to live this life, and all that is to be ultimately accomplished, everything is prayed for here. That is why three words are so significant words. Shrihi Medha Prajna. So what do you ask? O Lord, please bless me with Shriyam, is objective form of Shrihi. Medha Medham. Prajna Prajnam. The cha means and. O Lord, please bless me with all forms of wealth, good power of intellection and spiritual knowledge, which is wisdom, with which you have moksha. Isn't it? What else you want? Can you ask such a small, one sentence, can you pray for everything? And you're not playfully asking, okay? When you chant it repeatedly, Mahyam Shriyam Medham Prajnancha Prayacha Swaha. Bless me with all the three. It's excellent prayer. That's why it's an all-inclusive, complete, exalted prayer, which will bless you with everything. Understand? In fact, if this prayer gets fulfilled, and you it will put an end to the very act of praying. That's why it's an exalted prayer. And you seek, first you say, Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye. Om. You always know Om is a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. Namo means Namaha. Namaha means salutations, prostrations. Salutations to whom? Bhagavate. Bhagavate means to the Lord, to Bhagavan. Bhagavan is nominative. Bhagavate means dative case, fourth case, to the Lord, Bhagavate, to Bhagavan. Salutations unto the Lord Bhagavan, unto the Lord. Who is this Lord? Dakshinamurtihi. So Dakshinamurtaye means to the Lord Dakshinamurti. The to, we say, that's why Dakshinamurtaye. Murtaye. Salutations unto the Lord Dakshinamurtihi. The very name Dakshinamurtihi tells you, because in India, when we invoke, when we personify the Lord as the bestower of spiritual knowledge, when you see the Lord, we give form to that Lord, and that Lord, always that Murti is placed facing the south, southern direction. South stands for fear, death, time limitation. And therefore, when the wisdom Bhagavan sees, means when the Bhagavan Dakshinamurti happens with personification of the pure knowledge, and in knowledge the fear disappears, in wisdom fear goes, in knowledge time goes, death goes. That is why he is said to be the one who is sitting, facing the south. It's called a Dakshinamurti. Another meaning is the one who is expert in communicating, in giving you the vision of the truth. One who is known for his expertise in terms of communication. Therefore, he is called Dakshinaha, means expert. Amurti, at the same time, who is this communicator? Lord is not the communicator, but there is no communicator, there is no teacher other than the Lord. Understand? Therefore, it's like there's no light illuminator other than the light. Similarly, there's no speaker, there's no teacher, there's no communicator, you know, there's no revealer other than the Lord. Therefore, that Lord is the one who is of the nature of formlessness, amurtihi. Dakshinaha cha asau amurtischa. The one who is of the nature of formlessness, formless consciousness, at the same time, the one who obtains as the communicator. You know, it's called Dakshinaha cha asau amurtischa.
That is the Lord. So we say, Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshina Murtaye. Can you say that after me? Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshina Murtaye. So salutations unto the Lord Dakshina Murtihi. Finished. This is a worship. Now it's offering your prostrations, salutations to the Lord. Even though you don't do physically, you don't bow to the Lord, when you utter it, you mean it, you imply that you are total offering to Bhagavan. And then the prayer comes. What you pray, Mahyam, say Mahyam, Shriyam, Medham, Prajnancha, Prayacha, Swaha. I told you already, Shrihi in this word, as an objective word, no, because it's an object of action, it becomes what? Shriyam. Medha becomes Medham. Prajna becomes Prajnam. Cha and. Enakku selvathayum nalla good power of intellectionayum nal sharp intellectium then prajna mulu unarvayum solradhukku prajnancha prayacha. Yes, I will tell you in objective case. Okay, that's all. Mahyam say shriyam medham prajnancha prayacha swaha. You know, on this day I take so much of time, I spend so much of time on this mantra, I really mean it. If you really want clarity, whenever you feel very confused, very you want clarity, just throw away everything, do this japam with Shraddha. It will work. Definitely it will work. It doesn't work, you ask me. Okay? I did it, it didn't work. You ask me. But you had to be focused, place your mind in the mantra and do it. Nothing like, and as a spiritual aspirant, the main sadhana, people want to some sadhana. Now, different types of disciplines we practice to prepare our minds. And one of the basic disciplines, I want to start with, even before meditation is, one should not go to meditation, actually one should start with the japa. And on this day I'm teaching because I'm going to be away and this has to begin on a very good auspice before full moon. I want to do it on a Thursday. Luckily we got it today. I taught already in previous class, I taught to many people, but still I'm teaching you on Thursday so that you can do this japa regularly in the mornings, in the evenings, in the afternoons if you have time, if you're at home. And then I don't really consider it a discipline. Simply people walking and doing. When you want to do japam, be focused, sit for some time. It takes only 15 minutes to 12 to 15 minutes for doing 108 times. Doesn't take more than that. Okay? And please do this japam. If you already have got your own japa mantra, don't worry. You do that. Okay? But this is specifically you can do it. It's very, very good. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshina Murtaye. This itself will become meditation slowly. Now I'm saying it orally. Once you get it correctly, you can do it mentally also without falling asleep, and you can say it mentally. If you do it mentally, nothing should be there. Just the mantra, you are there, mantra is there. Mentally you do it, it becomes meditation. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahyam Shriyam Medham Prajnancha Prayachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahyam Shriyam Medham Prajnancha Prayachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahyam Shriyam Medham Prajnancha Prayachaswaha. ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा। ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा। ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा। ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा। ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा। ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा।
Good. So this is the mantra I want to do before we start the class. Anyway, we had luckily time also, like we had some time like that.
Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Om Sahana Bhavato सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
वी वर् सीयिङ्ग् द टापिक् आफ् अध्यारोपः सूपर् इम्पोसिशन्। So what is superimposition? If the question is asked, what is adhyaropaha? Then we had an answer. Vastuni avastvaropaha. Avastunaha aropaha. So superimposition of avastu upon the vastu is adhyaropaha. And vastu is Satchidanandam Brahma, which we keep it for time being. We are going to understand it elaborately later on. Then what is avastu? Avastu is ajnanam. We saw ajnanam. And the word ajnanam literally means ignorance. And here we take the word ajnanam is moola ajnanam. What is avastu? Avastu is ajnanam. Ajnanam means what here? Moola ajnanam or moola avidya. It means original matter. Otherwise called what? Prakritihi. And why it is called avastuhu? Avastu, if you say, avastu is that which has no independent existence. Avastu is not tucham, not totally non-existent like a rabbit's horn, or it is not unreal, but nor is it absolutely real. But what is it now? Avastu is mithya. Mithya means that which is neither unreal nor real, that which is not tucham, but that which is as though. That which is as though means that which has dependent existence. That which is not there always, but that which is as though means what? That which has dependent existence. And this avastu here, what we ajnanam. Ajnana means, I said, Mula Ajnana, Mula Vidya, which is actually, other, we have another word, Prakritihi. Now we are learning so many words which are synonyms. Ajnanam, Avidya. Now Mula Ajnanam, Mula Avidya or Prakritihi, we use different words. And this Prakritihi also is what now? Anadi. It has no beginning. And this Prakritihi, we can say original, subtlest matter. And this Prakritihi has no beginning, means it's also uncreated. And this Prakritihi, we saw, is of two types. One is what Samashtihi and Vyashtihi. Vyashti Ajnanam or Samashti Ajnanam. Vyashti Prakritihi, Samashti Prakritihi. Vyashti Ajnanam means, let's say, it is Rajav Pradhana Prakritihi, and Samashti Ajnanam is Sattva Pradhana, Vishuddha Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi. So the predominantly sattvic matter is called, predominantly sattvic matter is called Samashti Ajnanam, and predominantly rajasic matter is called Vyashti Ajnanam. So the Ajnanam obtaining in every individual is what? Vyashti Ajnanam. And the same Ajnanam, you know, collectively is as what? No, Samashti Ajnanam. And we getting the Vyashti Ajnanam is called Avidya. Samashti Ajnanam is called Maya. Okay, and this Avidya and Maya. So the predominantly rajasic matter called Avidya, or predominantly sattvic matter called Maya, were essentially one and the same matter. It's okay. The difference is what? Vyashti, Samashti is that one is like one tree. Vyashti is like one tree, now one single tree, and Samashti is like the forest consisting of many, all the trees collectively. So this Vyashti Samashti Ajnanam, the individual Ajnanam is said to be inferior because it is one obtaining in an individual. The same Ajnanam obtaining in collectively in all is said to be what now? Maya is said to be superior, exalted. Supi Utkrishta Nikrishta. Utkrishta Ajnanam, Nikrishta Ajnanam. Samashti is Utkrishta, Utkrishta. Vyashti is Nikrishta. Nikrishta, Utkrishta means superior, inferior. And here we saw, therefore these two, Avidya and Maya, serve as manifesting media. Avidya serves as manifesting medium for consciousness, and Maya also serves as manifesting medium for consciousness. Therefore, it is called Upadhihi. Avidya is also Upadhi, and then Maya is also Upadhihi. And here, this Brahma, Satchidanandam Brahma Chaitanyam, the absolute reality, the consciousness, manifest in avidya, gets the status of being the jivaha. The same one and the only consciousness manifest in maya gets the name Ishwaraha. So Ishwaraha and jivaha are two different names given to the one and the same consciousness in keeping with the difference in manifesting media. This much we have seen already. And last class we saw, this avidya has got different names. Avidya and maya both have got different names. First name is what? Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram. Avidya is also called Karana Shariram. Maya is also called Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram means cause. And both are said to be shariram, means that which is subject to
get resolved is called Shariram. That which is resolvable, that which, you know, is called Shariram. That which we get disintegrated, that which is subject to get disintegrated, or that which is subject to get destroyed, that is subject, that which perishes is called, you know, Shariram. Anything which perishes is Shariram. There's a body is called Shariram because it is going to get, what now, disintegrated later on. So, again, I taught you in second chapter class all itself, Bhagavad Gita second chapter, when we saw, we understood, whenever we talk about, use this word destruction or perishing, destroyed, perished, etc., we have to remember one thing. There is no such thing called total destruction of anything here. Absolute destruction of anything is not there. So destruction is only, there's only relative destruction. And the relative destruction is nothing but a change. So anything which keeps that which keeps on undergoing a change, therefore, is what we say, mithya, is also here. So this karana shariram is also what now? We called, avidya is also called karana shariram. Maya is also called karana shariram. But cause of what? So avidya, this is the question came from today, Germany. Avidya is called karana shariram. Why? Avidya is said to be cause. Why? Because avidya has no form, not a body like this, isn't it? Avidya is subject to get resolved one day or the other. It is resolvable, therefore it is called a shariram, isn't it? And this avidya is the karanam. Cause of what? Ahankaradinam karanam, the author presents in Vedanta Sara. I made it very clear. It is this avidya which is the cause of samsara. Samsara means what? The life of transmigration. The transmigratory life. No, beginninglessly, endlessly, being born again and again and again. Being born and going through situation, paths of opposites throughout the life. Again, when the parabdha gets exhausted, again, no, leaving the body, again assuming another body, again being born, this beginninglessly, endlessly, now continuously going through life, through different, assuming different bodies, going through many births, is called life of transmigration. That is why it's called what now? Samsara chakram, samsara sagara, samsaraha. The cause of samsara. And for you to assume a body again, to be born again, no? That's why when we ask this question, why are you born here? You do not know why you are born, but you are born. There's no, nobody knows the cause for one's birth. We are born here. Why am I born? You can never find answer. But Shastram says here, the very birth is, it is not your choice. You did not choose to be born, but you are born. It means this birth implies what? Assuming a body, you are born here means that birth is mainly for the exhausting one's karma, we say. So the birth is determined by what? The karma one has in one's account. Karma means what? You know, all the paths of opposites, pains and pleasures one has to go through in one's life. And those karmas, what one has in one's account, because of that alone, one is born again. So now the question comes, why there is karma? Why there is, karma means punya papams. That unexhausted fruits of actions, which everyone has in one's account. For exhausting those punya papas alone, you are born here. So birth, what is this birth for, if you say? as a human being, you are born here ultimately to discover moksha. But until you discover moksha, you are also exhausting what? The punya papas you have in your account. Oh, that means, how did I have punya papa in my account? That I have to exhaust those punya papas, if you ask, because you performed actions. Now also you are performing, that's a different thing. Previously, before assuming this body, before you were born also, in previous life, you had, having previous shariram also, you were performing actions. Of course, once you are assuming, you are born with the body means you are performing actions. And those actions, whether those actions were righteous actions or wrong actions, in keeping with the actions you performed, you have accumulated punyam and papam results. And those punya papas alone you are exhausting now. For exhausting those punya papas, you are born here. Means, so janma presupposes karma phalam. Is it? Unexhausted fruits of actions. So that karma presupposes your performance of actions, isn't it? So performance of actions presupposes your desires, ambitions, wishes, longings, aspirations. Isn't it true? Why did I perform actions? Because natural. It is not something wrong here. It's very natural for one to have desires, ambitions and wishes. So actions presupposes desires. And desires presuppose, why did I have desires? Desires presuppose your needs. You always had needs, you still have needs, you will ever be having needs as long as you remain ignorant, isn't it? Therefore, the needs. So nothing is your, that's why you are relieved of the guilt. You are relieved of any guilt. Everything is very natural. The needs were there. The needs alone become desires. The needs, why did I have needs? Any needs? Emotional needs, the biological, emotional, all the needs we have. The needs are very natural. Again, the needs again are there because of the sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. If other person does not have money, other person is small or inadequate in terms of money, other person is poor, will you do karma? Will you have a need? If you have, you will not have need, isn't it? So the smallness, the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, centered on I, is the fundamental, common human fundamental problem. Every time I emphasize this, it is this fundamental problem alone gives rise to the wrong notions that I am small, I am insecure, I am unhappy, I am insignificant, I am a mortal, etc. And it is these wrong notions one entertain about oneself due to this, the fundamental problem of sense of the sense of smallness and inadequacy being centered on I, that the needs come into existence. I tell you, you are not creating the needs. What is the cause of the needs? What is that really which brings this needs, into existence? Why there are needs? It is the inadequacy. It is this smallness centered on I, as a result of which the wrong notions you have about yourself, in such as I am small, I am in terms of so many things. I'm inadequate, isn't it? So all this, therefore, the desire, I want to live long, happily, that desire again becomes all other desires. Therefore, the needs are because of this. And we say that is because of the erroneous self-perception. Why do I have this? Why do I have wrong notion about myself? Why do I have sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I? Do you want to have smallness centered on I? Is it your wish? No. It is natural, isn't it? Because there is erroneous self-perception which you are not aware of. And erroneous self-perception is due to what? Because there is a superimposition of limitations of non-self upon the self. Therefore, there is sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. And the superimposition of limitations of non-self upon the self now is due to erroneous self-perception. You mistake the non-self for the self. You have identity with the self, identity is with the non-self. Isn't it? Your identity is with the non-self because of the erroneous self-perception. And this erroneous self-perception is because of self-ignorance. You are not able to see what you are, which means your real nature is covered. Understand? Your real nature is covered. So your real nature being covered from being known, isn't it? What is that? Why is that you are not able to see what you are? How you see the wave, at the same time you see wave is, you say, and wave is water also you say. The two, isn't it? Wave is knowledge. And wave is water is a complete knowledge of the wave. You do not say, I don't know whether wave is. Wave is half knowledge. There is a wave is half knowledge. This wave which is water is total knowledge. Isn't it? Like that, I am, you know, but you do not know what I am. This is this half knowledge and half ignorance. This half ignorance, you know, is there because of which you, there is erroneous self-perception. And this half ignorance is called what here? Because of avidya. Understand? So avidya is ajnanam, ignorance, and half ignorance. Understand? And this ignorance is, this avidya is the cause of erroneous self-perception. Because of erroneous self-perception, there is no superimposition of limitations of non-self upon the self. Therefore, there is this sense of inadequacy and sense of smallness centered on I. Therefore, all the notions you entertain about yourself are wrong notions. Therefore, there are needs. Understand? Once the needs are there, then the desires, the fundamental desire comes. And there will be all other desires crop up. Everything is natural. If you see, because of desires, you perform karma. Once you are assuming a body, you're born here means you perform karma. Because there are biological needs, you have to do karma. Emotional needs, the desires, you have to do karma. So karma produces results.
and all the results cannot be exhausted, and the results take their own time to fructify. Therefore, when you have, before the span of life ends, if you have karma palam, and they get accumulated, and to exhaust this karma palam, those karmas really, what now? You know, because of the karma, there is janma. Once you are born again you are born with what? Ajnanam. Again it continues. Therefore, what is that which keeps this samsara alive ever, isn't it? It is this avidya. Therefore, avidya is said to be samkaranam. Actually, ahankara is mentioned by the author there. Ahankara is the knowledge I am is ahankara. That's fine. Half knowledge is fine. But anything added to I am, if you say anything you add to I am, becomes what? The wrong notion about the self, which becomes ahankara. Therefore, it is the cause. Therefore, it says it's said to be karana shariram. And this karana shariram, because yesterday people asked, so I repeated again today, is also called layasthanam. Layasthanam means every time, no, when this avidya is there, you know, layasthana means when everything is resolved in sleep for you, the subtle universe is not there, gross universe is not there, your own limited world of experience is not there for you. Therefore, it's layasthanam. And it's also layasthanam and anandamaya koshaha, because this avidya is saturated with what? Also, ananda, there is sukham. Bliss, experience of bliss also is there in sleep, which is for you, it's available for your own experience. Therefore, it's called anandamaya koshaha. And then sushuptihi, it's also called sushuptihi, because sushuptihi means where all the functions remain resolved, like the function of mentation remains resolved, and all your perception, the sense powers remain resolved, powers of organs of actions remain resolved. So everything remain withdrawn in avidya. Therefore, it's called sushuptihi also. Like that, we saw the names of this avidya last class. And now, we have to understand one important thing here. Chaitanyam, chit. Both words mean the same. Consciousness. And this Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness, original, the consciousness, when you say, it is without mentioning the avidya or maya or ajnanam. It is what a nirupadikam Chaitanyam, Brahma. I want to learn all these technical terms. Nirupadhikam Chaitanyam means consciousness without the manifesting media, upadhi, is called Nirupadhikam Chaitanyam. Nirupadhikam Chaitanyam Brahma. You know, this Nirupadhikam Chaitanyam is what? Beginningless, timeless. So, Vastu, you know that. Vastu. Now we have what now? Two upadhis we have understood. What are the two upadhis? Two manifesting media. One is avidya and maya. Or you can say maya and avidya. So, vishuddha sattva pradhana prakritihi, predominantly sattvic matter called maya, which is an upadhihi. And then avidya is also what? Another upadhihi. Upadhi is manifesting media. And consciousness, the same nirupadhikam chaitanyam,
conscious. The consciousness without the upadis, associated with the upadi, becomes what? Sopadhikam chaitanyam. Sopadhikam chaitanyam, nirupadhikam chaitanyam, in association with the upadi, is called what? Sopadhikam chaitanyam. Consciousness with the upadi is called sopadhikam chaitanyam. Consciousness without the upadi is nirupadhikam chaitanyam. The sopadhikam chaitanyam gets two different names, two different titles, isn't it? One is Ishwaraha. The consciousness associated with the Maya Upadhi gets the name Ishwaraha. The same consciousness associated with Avidya Upadhi gets the name Prajnaha. I don't use the term Jiva here. Prajnaha. Ishwaraha and Prajnaha. Who is Ishwaraha? Ishwaraha is the name, title given to the Chaitanyam associated with the Maya Upadhi. Same again. Who is Prajnaha? What is Prajnaha? Prajnaha is a title, name given to the same consciousness associated with the Avidya Upadhi. So, Sopadhikam Chaitanyam gets two different names, Ishwaraha and Jivaha. So, is there a difference between Ishwara and Jiva, Prajnaha? Ishwaraha and Prajnaha, there is no difference. The difference between Ishwara and Prajna is only from the standpoint of the manifesting media. That is become very clear. Now, therefore, the Sopadhikam Chaitanyam means, so the Ishwaraha, Jivaha, two status. The Prajnaha, Ishwaraha, Prajnaha. So the two status. Therefore, the status is also what we say, status. And avidya upadhi, maya upadhi. To manifesting media. Of these five, we say two upadhis, two manifestations of consciousness and pure consciousness. So, pure consciousness, nirupadhikam chaitanyam. Two manifestations of consciousness. Now, with the two different names, what now? Ishwara and Prajnaha. Then, two manifesting media, two upadhis, Maya and Avidya. All the five are what? Beginningless, anadi. Nothing has a beginning. Understand? Therefore, now only thing, what is vastu, what is avastu here, if you look for her? Nirupadikam chaitanyam brahma vastu. Ishwara's status is mithya. Prajnaha status is mithya. Jiva status is mithya. Upadhi, maya is mithya. Avidya is mithya. Now, so we have to enter into the new lesson today. This much we covered. Old lessons are just a little bit. I say every time I repeat the same thing so that by the time you finish this Vedanta Sara, it will be very clear. So, this Sopadhikam Chaitanyam, the consciousness associated with the Upadhi, known as Ishwaraha or Prajnaha. Consciousness associated with the Maya Upadhi called Ishwaraha, or consciousness associated with Avidya Upadhi called Prajnaha, is called what? Upahita Chaitanyam. The consciousness associated with Upadhi is called Upahita Chaitanyam. upahitam. Because now we are going to understand, and that consciousness is that nirupadikam chaitanyam. The pure consciousness is the turiyam. It is the name what now? Turiyaha. Turiya atma, or you can say turiyam chaitanyam. Turiyam means a pure consciousness here. Then we are going to understand why this name turiyam comes. That we'll see the meaning later on. And here, to understand this, the author uses upahita, the example he gives, upahita chaitanyam or avachinna chaitanyam. You can say maya avachinna chaitanyam or maya upahita chaitanyam Ishwaraha. I wanted to learn this sentence. Maya upahita chaitanyam or maya avachinna chaitanyam Ishwaraha. Avidya upahita chaitanyam, avidya avachinna chaitanyam prajnyaha. And is chaitanyam without the upadhi alone is turiyam. See, we are going to see here. Let us use here, the author is going to use, we are going to see the text actually later on. Now before we go to the text, see, there is space, and space is one, space is indivisible, partless whole. I use every word is important. Space is one. We don't have two spaces. One, space is one. Meaning of the word space, we have no doubt it is one. There is no second space, it's not there. And this space has no parts, it is partless. And this space is also indivisible. Can we divide the space? It is indivisible. So indivisible, partless, whole. This one indivisible, partless, whole space. So here consciousness also, this nirupadhikam chaitanyam, Brahma, implied by the term Brahma, the pure consciousness is like, okay, don't say, take it as spice, one indivisible, partless whole. And now, there is a part, and part which exists in space, and which encloses a given area of space, isn't it? And seems to be, really, it can't enclose, but see, no, it encloses, it seems to be enclosing the space. And then what happens? That the space associated with the part gets the name part space. Part space is only a name given to the same one and the same partless indivisible space because of its association with the part gets the name part space. Part space is a name given to the one and the same indivisible partless whole space. Is it clear? And the same space is the name. Obtaining in pervading everything that is here, associated with all the objects existing in space, you know, we can say total space. Like that, here also, Ishwaraha and Jivaha or Prajnaha are the names given to this one and the same indivisible, partless whole consciousness. Then we say avachinna means, avachinna means as though, avachinna means divided. The indivisible space seems to have been divided, isn't it? Seems to be divided. Is space really divided? No. But it seems to have been divided, appears to be divided. This apparent division in space, which is not real. Therefore, the apparently divided space, seemingly divided space is what now? Avachinna Chaitanyam. Avachinna Chaitanyam. Avachinna Akashaha. Similarly, the consciousness also, please understand now, this one indivisible, partless whole consciousness, obtaining in a given individual, associated with the given upadhi, is also what now? Given body, mind, sense complex, gets the name jivaha, avachinna chaitanyam. Avachinna chaitanyam. So it's called avachedavadaha. Avachedavadaha means we use this, seeming division. Now similarly we can go, one more thing he is going to say, which means consciousness is one indivisible partless whole. This only jiva is only name attributed to the same consciousness. Similarly we say, pratibimbavadaha, we have pratibimbavadaha means there is one sun above and there is the entire, we have the one sun above. In every wave there is reflection of one sun. In the wave also there is a reflection. In the ocean also there is reflection. Isn't it? Even in a small droplet also there can be reflection. There is a reflection of one and the same sun reflected in a drop of water, a ripple of water, a wave of water and ocean of water, a river water, a pond water, or water in a container, big, small, different containers. So many reflections, isn't it? But reflections, all the reflections are of one and the same sun. But reflecting media are different. Similarly here, the manifesting media are different. The manifestations are all of the one and the same consciousness. Now this pratibimbaha means reflection. We have another word called abhasaha. Abhasaha means reflection. So we can say the manifestation, instead of using the term reflection, we can say this manifestations. So the manifesting media are many and different, but manifestations are all of one and the same, only indivisible, partless whole, the consciousness. Is it clear? So we have two, this avachedaha, avachedavadaha, and also what now? Pratibimbavadaha. Whichever vada you take, in both vadas you understand the consciousness is pratibimbavadaha means the reflection. You take it as a manifestation or you take it as obtaining in. So the all-pervasive, indivisible, partless whole consciousness obtaining in every individual, associated with all the individual upadhis, gets the name prajnaha. Therefore, that it is one and the same. The division is only a seeming division. There is no real division. Similarly, when you say manifestations also, they seem the plurality. It seems there are many manifestations, therefore the plurality, we talk about in me one, in you one, another other person one. The plurality also is what? No, so division and divisions and the plurality. Okay, multiplications. So the plurality also, the plurality of consciousness also is only seeming. There is no real consciousness, is it? The plurality is also seeming plurality. Division also is what? Seeming division. Because consciousness is one, not plural. And similarly, it is indivisible, but you know, this is really seemingly divided. So to understand how consciousness is not many, how consciousness is indivisible, not many, one, not plural, one, is indivisible but seemingly divided. To understand this, we use these two vadas, avacheda vadaha, and then one is pratibimba vadaha. So we can understand this, how one space, you know, associated with one pot gets the name pot space, enclosure. So it's good, no? Avacheda, avachinna akasha means enclosed space, divided space. Not really divided, this seemingly divided. Similarly, one sun reflected in many reflecting media, many pots of water. Is what? No, reflections are many, but sun is one. Therefore, all the reflections are of the one and the only sun. Is what? All the manifestations are all the manifestations of one and the only consciousness, which is seemingly divided, which is actually indivisible, partless whole. This basic thing you have to remember to enter into the class. Let us read this 46th, 7th first. So, anayoho, samashti vyashtyoho, vana vrikshayoho iva, jalashaya jalayoho iva, va abhedaha. So there is abhedaha. Here abhedaha means non-difference. The 47th sentence discusses the non-difference between even vyashti ajnanam and samashti ajnanam, maya and avidya. Okay, maya or avidya, both are the vyashti, samashti ajnanam and vyashti ajnanam, both are essentially one and the same ajnanam. Isn't it? Therefore, abhedaha. They are non-different. What is the difference? Difference between maya and avidya is like one tree and a tree and a forest. Isn't it? What is the difference between tree and a forest? Many trees put together is forest. I think one tree is tree, isn't it? Therefore, what is the difference? Every tree is forest. No way. Every tree is part of the forest. Every tree is not different from the forest, isn't it? Like that, essentially, avidya and maya are one and the same ajnanam, same matter. Therefore, he says, just as the water obtaining in a small container or water obtaining in a big reservoir is one and the same. Similarly, there is no difference between what avidya and maya essentially. Essentially, avidya and maya are one and the same matter.
That's what he wants to say. Then, so upadhi abheda he is talking about. Upadhi bedaha. Upadhi abheda, essentially one and the same matter. But if you take it as maya upadhi, what samashti vyashti is the difference. Vyashti samashti bedaha is there. That is the difference, isn't it? So, now upadhi bedha is over. He talks about upadhi bedha. Now he goes to the next one. Essentially, abedha, but otherwise, there is a samashti samashti bedha. Sattva rajas, now predominantly being sattvic, predominantly being ajasic, is the difference. Otherwise, originally, essentially, they are one of the same matter. The next he goes, Yetad upahita yoho Ishvara pragyayoho api Vana vrikshavachinna Akashayo riva Jalashaya Jalagata Pratibimba Akashayoriva va. So here, Yeshaha Sarveshwaraha. Now he's going to give the example. The example is from Mandukya Upanishad example. We will not do that. We just see the meaning of the other mantra. So now he's talking about the difference. What is the difference between Ishwaraha and Pragyaha? Don't think I'm repeating. Text is repeating. I'm just come back here. What is the difference between Ishwaraha and Pragyaha? He says Upahita Chaitanyam. Upadhi Beda you understood, isn't it? Similarly, what is the difference between Ishwara and Pragya? They're only name, the difference is only in the name. Ishwara name does a difference. Pragya name does difference. Two different names. Why? Because the difference is in manifesting media upadhi. The upahita chaitanyam, the name there is difference. But actually, essentially, there is no difference between pragya and Ishwara. Essentially, Pragnyaha and Ishwaraha are non-different. In association with Upadhis, understand, there is a name difference in names. Difference is only in names, in association, in keeping with the association of the different Upadhis. Otherwise, essentially, pragyaha is consciousness, essentially, Ishwara is also consciousness. And he says, for that, the author says, Vana vriksha avachinna akashayoho iva. Suppose the space associated with one tree, or the space associated with the big huge forest. What is the difference? What is the difference between, we shouldn't even use the term between. You can use this word between only if there are two. But still we try to use the term between. What is the difference between the space associated with one single tree or the space associated with the huge forest? What is the difference? No difference. Same. So here, that's why avachinna akashaha. Avachinna akashaha means, that's why I use the other pot example. The space associated with the pot is what? Avachinna akasha. Ghata avachinna akashaha. Ghata avachinna akashaha means space enclosed, seemingly divided, by a pot is essentially indivisible space. Similarly, space occupied, space associated, enclosed by a big tank is also what? Essentially indivisible part. A formless space, one space, indivisible space, partless space. Just as there is no difference between space associated with one tree or the entire forest, similarly consciousness associated with the Maya Upadhi or Avidya Upadhi is one and the same. Essentially one and the same. Then why do you give two different names? Why do you call Ishwaraha? Why do you call Pragyaha? Because of its association with the Upadhi. Vyashti Upadhi, Samashti Upadhi. Single and total, isn't it? Therefore, individual and the total. The individual Upadhi, consciousness associated with the individual Upadhi gets the name Pragyaha. The same consciousness associated with, identified with the total Upadhi is called what? Ishwaraha. The names are different, but essentially one and the same consciousness. This is Avacheda. The standpoint of the division, if you say, the divisibility also, there is no, it is indivisible. And what about the reflections, Pratibimba? Whatever he says, Jala, Jalashaya, Jalashaya Jalagata Pratibimba Akashayoho Iva. Or he again, he says, Pratibimbaha, we can say, even, you see the space, isn't it? Blue sky above. That's also called Akasha, isn't it? Not only the space here, the blue sky is also, is what now? Akasha. You see the sky above, no? The blue sky. And the blues, you can see the reflection of the blue sky in the still waters. You can see, no? Akasha. So there is a reflection of the blue sky in what? In both. In Jalam. In the water obtaining in a small pond. Or water accumulated in a huge reservoir. In both still water. Still water accumulated in a small pond, or this was still water accumulated in a huge reservoir. In both, we find the reflections of the one and the same blue sky. Still water, you see the reflection very clearly, sky in the water. And how do you see that? Is there a difference? It's called Pratibimbita Akashaha. First you saw Avachinna Akashaha. Then you can say divided, limited space. And we say then it is reflected sky. Is there such thing called are there two different skies? The same sky, isn't it? One and the same Akasha. You find in both. So it's called abhasa. Abhasa means reflection. Is there a difference between the space, the sky reflected in water and the huge reservoir of waters? There is no difference. The reflections, you know, we can say that pratibimbita akashaha or avachinna akashaha, however you take it, doesn't matter. It is one indivisible, partless whole. It is essentially one and the same. Two different reflections are of one and the same sky. Similarly here, the consciousness also, essentially, this prajnaha and ishwaraha, prajna ishwarayoho. I mean, what now? Essentially, this Pragya and Ishvara also one and the same consciousness. That is what he wants to say in this sentence. Ivava Bedaha. This is how the Bedaha, this is how the difference is. Actually, there's no difference. Is it clear? Essentially, there's no difference. Difference is only in manifestations and reflections and in keeping with the association. With the differences in media. He says, Yeshaha Sarveshwaraha. So, Yeshaha Sarveshwaraha. That Yeshaha Sarvajnaha. Yeshaha Antaryami. Yeshayonihi. Sarvasya Prabhavapyayo. He Bhutanam. So he says the Mandukya Upanishad, he quotes the Mandukya Upanishad talks about Ishvara. Pragya. So Yeshaha Sarveshwaraha. Sarveshwaraha, we say the Lord of everything. Who is the Lord of everything? Sarveshwaraha. There is no Lord other than consciousness. So, Sarveshwaraha, Sarvajnaha, omniscient, Sarva Antaryami. Who is the one who inheres in everything? That which, the one who inheres in everything, the one who is inherent in everything, is Antaryami. The Antaryami. Ishvara has so many words, Sarveshwaraha, all, the one who has overlordship. Sarveshwaraha, Sarvajnaha, no, one who has overlordship, omniscient, and Antaryami, the one who is inherent in everything, Antaryami. Yeshaha Yonihi, Yonihi means the cause of everything. Ishvara is said to be what now? The cause of everything. Then Sarvasya Prabhavaha, Apyayohi, and the origin of everything and resolution of everything, that in which everything, the origin of everything, that Ishvara is the one from whom everything comes into existence. Ishvara is the one in whom everything resolves. Prabhavasya, Sarvasya Prabhavaha, Sarvasya Apyayaha, the one in whom everything resolves, the one from whom everything comes into existence, the one who is all-knowing, the one who is inherent in everything, inherent, the one who is, you know, the Lord of everything, is, you know, he said, Ishvara is said to be, all these words mean Ishvara. Sarvajnaha, Sarveshwaraha, Antaryami, Yonihi, who is this? Actually, who is Ishvara? Tell me. Ishvara is Chaitanyam. So who is Pragyaha? Essentially one and the same Brahma. From the beginning you are made to see, help to see the non-difference.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Rubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.